This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by the Coleman family, Le'ilu, Nishmas, Maras, Basho, Bas, Menachem, Dov, Ber, Oliver Shalom. Olehar Shalom. Tes Zayin Adar, Tuesday the 26th of February, Rabbi Yanki Wiesenfeld. Is there such a thing as a free lunch?
I prepared this shiur and I was supposed to give it on Torah Way on Chof Zayin Shvat, which was the first Yahrzeit of my father's Zecharon Levrocha. Unfortunately, because my wife was sitting shiva at that time, so I had to cancel it for then. So I makdish today's shiur l'nishmas of Imori, Reb Yitzchok ben Reb Yaakov Zecharon Levrocha. The other preface is the same hakdoma as I've given each time I've given a shiur on a halachic subject, which is that unlike most of the other eminent Torah Way speakers, I'm not a rov or a dayan, I don't have smicha, and I'm certainly not entitled to paskan halacha l'masa. This is a shala that we're going to be discussing, a shala l'halacha, and I have to say that anybody has this shala in practice should ask a qualified moir horo and not rely on anything that's said in the shiur. This is a story, it's a true story, happened to me about 3 months ago approximately. I received at my door two shluchei mitzvah, two yidden from Eretz Yisrael, suitably attired in black garb, brandishing their photo album and their Vada Tola certificate, and collecting for a hachnosas orchim, a free restaurant, very close, I won't say where, but close to a holy site in Eretz Yisrael. And they showed me the photos that 24 hours a day, anybody who is travelling to that particular destination can arrive and they can come into this facility and there is food available for them. It's day or night. It's hot food, cold food, milchik, fleishik. A person can come in, a kenzach mechayzah.
Are you muffled?
This was... This is, well, let's hear the shiur and then find out if you want to go there. He said that this facility was established by Gedoyle Hador from generations back. And he said to me, you ever heard of Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, the Rosh Yeshiva? He visited our facility. He was tremendously impressed. He actually said that the mitzvah of Achnosas Ochim that takes place here is greater than visiting the holy site and saying Tehillim and learning Mishnayos and learning Torah by that. Such a great mitzvah of Achnosas Ochim. Now, I should at that stage have just written him a check or a voucher and got his brocha and sent him on his way. It's a mistake to challenge a mishulach, and I made the mistake. So I asked him a question. I said, tell me, this Achnosas Ochim, said, is it for aniyim, for poor people? Nein, he says, we serve males, females, whites, blacks, from, not from, and we serve poor people and rich people. Kol dich v'nyesav yechal. Our kitchen is open, we don't discriminate against anybody. And then he says to me, I'rotamul gehet von der Gewier Wolfson. You've ever heard of this wealthy man Wolfson? He came from America, landed in Ben Gurion. And when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, his first destination was our holy site. And a gekumen mit a helicopter, he said. He took a helicopter from Ben Gurion and he landed in our town nearby. He said, and before he went, what?
For a free meal.
And before he went to the holy site, is a gekumen essen bei uns. He came to eat at our place, he said. So you can see, we're not discriminating, rich or poor. You wouldn't give, says Maya. Oh, so I said to him, I understand, it's a mitzvah of Achnosas Ochim, and it's very, very nice. But I said, but I'm wondering to myself, whether it's a legitimate use of tzedakah money to feed Wolfson. Yeah? That was my worry. I said to him like this. I said, a person has, let's say, a person earns £100. So £90 of it is his, and £10 of it is his masa money. Yeah? Maybe, for Achnosas Ochim, where you're feeding people who, you know, it's not for aniyim, the 10% should be for the aniyim. And if you want to sponsor Achnosas Ochim, that should come from the 90. That should come from your own money, and not from tzedakah money, at the expense of aniyim, and yesoimim, and moistas hatzedakah, moistas hatorah, etc. That was my shaila. Now this man got very upset, and very agitated. He actually stood up, yeah? And he said to me, he said, do you think that Avraham Avinu, when he received his visitors, charged his guests afterwards? Did he means test them? He said, if you pick up a visitor on Shabbos, and you have a visitor at your Shabbos table, he said, are you going to start charging them on Motzei Shabbos and sending them all a bill for eating in your house? He said, Yidna goim le chasodim, he said. You're an achzori, he said. You're heartless. He said, you haven't got feelings, he said. The Rambam says about somebody like you, which Rav Kook mentioned last week, yeah? Yesh lochosh li yichusoi. Not sure if he's got a Jewish origin. He said, you have no empathy for the needy. He said, I'm not taking your donation, and he went. Didn't want to take it, not from my personal check and not from a charity check.
What?
Anachalama. Okay. Now, I must tell you that I had Angus Stefish. I really did feel bad. Okay? I was very upset about the whole thing. When Ataka regretted that, I discussed it with him and I got involved, but then I had to find out who was right, which is what today's shiur is about. So, this coming Sunday, Emiyat Hashem, Chof Aleph Ador is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk. And there'll be thousands of Yidden travelling from across the globe to Lizhensk to be mispalled by the Kaiva there. And when they get there, by the way, I checked the forecast, it's going to be cold. It's early in the year this year, yeah? It's going to be cold, just above freezing there. And Yidden are going to arrive from all over the world, and they're going to find that there are marquees erected, there are tables and chairs and cutlery and crockery, yeah? And there's Haimisha food, hot drinks, hot soup, hot meals for all of them. Hachnosas Ochim. Right? My question, it's Avada a big mitzvah. It's Avada a big chesed. It's a machaya for Yid to arrive after a long journey and he's got a hot meal available. It's terrific. And it's Avada, the people who do it, sponsor it as a schus for the tzaddik, for the Rabbi Lemelech of Lizhensk. And Avada, the tzaddik will pay them back and he'll shower them with brocha v'atzlocha. My question is, can they pay for that out of tzedakah money? Yeah, the people who are arriving there, they're not people who've walked from America and from Thingob. They haven't even hitchhiked, right? They've come by plane, they've come on a coach, they've come on a taxi. Yeah, the Baruch Hashem, they're well fed, they've got money in their pockets, right? So it's not a question of feeding aniyim, right? It's a question of achnosas ochim. And if somebody wants to sponsor achnosas ochim in Lizhensk this Sunday, is he entitled to do that with masa money? That's my question. So, let's learn the Mishnah Peah together. The Mishnah in Peah says as follows. Mishnah in Peah, Perek Hei. Mishnah Dalet. Bal Habayis Shoyu Oiva Mimokim Lamokim. The Mishnah describes a Bal Habayis as somebody who is not an Oni. Right? So Bal Habayis, so you've got three Madregas if you like. You've got the Oni. You've got the Bal Habayis who Baruch Hashem, he's got Panosa. And you've got the Oisha who's got plenty of Panosa. But Bal Habayis is somebody who does not need to take Stoka. Shoyu Oiva Mimokim Lamokim. And he's traveling. And the Mishnah, the Melech HaShlomo brings down, and other Mephoshim say, that he's, unfortunately, he didn't budget carefully, and he's ended up without a penny in his pocket. In fact, the Melech HaShlomo says, he may even have spent all the money that he had with him on his trade goods, on the goods that he's selling. Somebody offered him a good deal, yeah, and it was so attractive that he gave away every penny, and he now has a suitcase full of trade goods, he's got a suitcase full of jewellery or whatever it is, but he can't eat jewellery. He has no money. Then the halacha is, says the Mishnah, v'torech litol leket shikcho opeyo o masa oni. And he is desperate, and he arrives in a town, and he says, I'm hungry. And he goes to the soup kitchen, he wants to eat the food, yeah, that belongs to the aniyim. Then the halacha is yitol. He's allowed to eat. He can go to the field and take leket shikcho opeyo, together with all the aniyim, although he has £1 million of schor in his suitcase. Yeah, and Yitol, he's allowed to. Ul uchsheyachso lebeisoi, but when he gets back home, yishalim. Then he should pay back. Yeah? Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, says Rabbi Eliezer. The chomim say, oni hoya bois ashor. At the time when he ate, he was an oni. He had nothing at the time. And in the same way that, let's say, an oni, who is a genuine oni, and receives tzedakah, and afterwards, Hershey, he wins the lottery, or he receives a Yerusha, or whatever it is, finds a job. He's not mechuyev to pay back all the money that he ever took from Stoker. Right? So who I didn't hear, at that time, he was an oni. It was legitimate for him to take from Tzedakah. It was legitimate for him to eat Lekho Shikon pay at that time. And therefore, he's not mechuyev to pay back. There's a Gemara in Chulin that discusses, Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed, discusses this Mishnah, and the Gemara discusses two aspects of the Mishnah. Number one is that when he has a chiyuv to pay back according to Rebbe Eliezer, who does he pay? And how does he pay? And who's going to force him? Which oni can take him to Bezdin to force him to pay? And there's also discussion about whether or not he should pay. If he is going to pay, does he pay the aniyim in his hometown? Or does he pay back the aniyim in the town where he took from? Okay, that's one discussion. But there's also a maimah which is brought down in the Gemara, which is, Rebbe Chista said, that midas chasidus shanu kan. And the Gemara declares, enachanama, according to the Chachomim, who say, Oni hoya ba'oisa shor, that at that time he was an oni, he was entitled to eat from stokha, and therefore he doesn't have to pay back. Would there be an inyan in midas chasidus that he should pay back? That nevertheless, lifnim mishur asadin, he should still pay back although he's not mechuyev. And basically, it crystallizes into, let's go to the halacha rather than discuss the machlokes. The Rambam in Perek Tes of Matnas Aniyim and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Nun Gimel in Hilchas Tzedakah in Yeridea say as follows. Number one, the halacha is like the Chachomim. In other words, when he gets home, he is not mechuyev to pay. Oni hoya bo'is ashor, he was legitimate, he was allowed to eat from tzedakah at that time, and therefore when he gets home, he doesn't have to pay. The Rambam says that nevertheless, he has a midas chasidus that he should pay back, and there are discussions as to where he should pay back. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, yeah, afilu midas chasidus ein kan. In other words, if he was to write a letter back to the aniyim in the town where he ate, and to say, here is the donation, not a donation, here is my repayment, then the Gaboim will write him back a letter saying, it's not a repayment, you don't owe any money, we'll accept it as a donation, if you like. Why? Yeah, first of all, it's a diuk in the Gemara. The diuk is in the Loshon of the Gemara, why, according to Rav Akiva Eger, there is no Midas Chasidus. But also, I think there's a deep psychology here as well, which is simply that Chazal wanted that a person who is desperate, and normally he is a gevir, he's a balabais, he would never ever really contemplate taking money from stocker, or eating from a soup kitchen, or denying aniyim leket shikhon peyah, because he has to eat. So therefore, that person, when he is desperate, when he has nothing to eat, he might hesitate. He might not want to take, because he'll feel that it's wrong. Yeah, Chazal said, Rav Akiva Eger says, yeah, even amid the chasidus there isn't. At the time, it's 100% legitimate. It's not even 0.0001% not legitimate. You should feel free to take. At that time, you're allowed to take. The Oruch HaShulchan adds to that if he has the possibility of borrowing money, so he has no money, but he could find somebody who would lend him money, then he's not allowed to take from Moes Tzedakah, so to speak. You're not allowed to take Leket Shikron Peah. So therefore, I was concluding, at this stage in the Shir, right, I'm coming to the conclusion as follows, that if this Hachnasas Orchim were to be funded from Tzedakah money, then 90% or 99% of the people who are going to Lezhensk, or the people who are visiting that holy site, would not be allowed to eat from it. Why? Because they have cash, they have a checkbook, they've got a credit card, or they could find somebody that they could borrow from. They're not needy, they're not aniyim, and therefore if that kitchen was to be run for a moist tzedakah, then they would not be allowed to even to eat from it. Right? If the sponsors are going to pay out of their own funds, out of the £90 that belongs to them, then Tovar Aleim Brocho, that's a Gewaldige Sach, it's literally in the Neshama for the holy site, for the person who's buried there, etc., etc. It's fantastic and everybody can eat without any qualms. But if that was funded out of Tzedakah, and these people were coming around the Choya with a Vada Tzedakah certificate and collecting from my Tzedakah, then I felt that, you know, the Choyer was right, that it wasn't a legitimate use of stocker funds to open a Hachnosas Orchim, which is available to people who are not aniyim. So I was feeling a little bit better after examining the issue. I was coming to the conclusion that the Choyer, I had a point. But that feeling didn't last very long. Because if we examine now, right, what is the chiyuv of Maisa, right, what are the legitimate uses of masa money, and I'd like to also to differentiate between unallocated masa, which you have still in your possession, which is in your voucher account, which is in your charity account, or in the box of money that you put away for masa, versus money that's already been given to the Gaboid Stocker has been allocated for a specific need. If we go back to basics, the Rambam says as follows. This is Perek Shvi, the seventh Perek of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. Says the Rambam, Mitzvah Seilitin Stocker La'aniyim, your mitzvah to give Stocker to the Aniyim is Kefima Sharoi La'oni. The Rambam holds in same in Shulchan Aruch that the mitzvah min HaTorah is that when an oni appears in front of you and says, Parnaseini, I'm hungry, then you're mechuyev to give him. Im hoisa yad anoisim masages, according to how much you can afford. Shneema, there's one pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Posoyach tiftach es yodecho, that you should open your hand to the oni. And the other one, vehechazakta boy, kimoto yodeimoich, that when your fellow man is in trouble, then you should help him, vehechazakta boy. And also he brings another pasuk, vecheyochicha imoy. So therefore, min ha-Torah, the obligation is to give him everything that he needs when he appears in front of you, if you can afford it. Said the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, lefi ma shechoseh ha-oni, ato mutzuv liten loy. You have to give him whatever he needs. Emei loy kasus, mechasim oisoy. He needs clothes, then clothe him. Emei loy keli, clay bais, koinin loy. Buy him furniture. Emei loy isho, if he's not married, find him a shidduch. And the other way around, Moisa Isha, then find her a shidduch. Umetzuva ato lahashlim chesroinoi, says the Rambam. The obligation in the Torah of v'cheyochicha imach, or whatever it is, the psukim that we've got, the Seach Tiftach Ziyodachos, says that whatever the oni needs, you have to give him in full if you have the schus that oni appeared in front of you. But what happens if he comes to you, and what he needs is much more than you can afford? How much are you mechuyev? Yeah, there's got to be a limit. We know how much he needs. The question is, how much can you afford? There the Rambam says, bo ha'oni v'shol de machzoyer, that the oni comes and asks what he needs. V'ein yad ha'noisem maseges, noisem like v'yasogas yodoy, v'kamo. Then he says, ad chamishis. The maximum that you're mechuyev to give away for his needs is up to a fifth. And that's the mitzvah min ha'mucha. That's a separate share completely, right? We learned in Chatzdok about how you calculate the fifth and the tenth. The tenth, whether it's from your earnings, whether it's from your capital, etc., etc. Not a fifth of what he needs. You're mechuyev to give him everything that he needs. But the question is, how much do you have to give away of your own money? You don't have to make yourself poor so that he can have what he needs. Says the Rambam, maximum a fifth, and the average is the tenth. So we've got this concept of the fifth and the tenth, but we haven't got the concept yet at all of the idea of separating masa from your money all the time, that from whatever you earn. It's just that if an oni appears in front of you, then you have this discussion about how much to give him. So midaraisa, that's the halacha of tzedakah. The idea of masa, it comes from remozim in the Torah. And there are remozim in Torah, there are remozim in the Vim, there are remozim in Ksuvim, various psukim that everybody knows. For instance, just to run through a couple very quickly, Avram with Melech Stoim, he said, Vayitin loy maase mikoil, that Avram took maase from everything. And Yaakov Avinu said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, V'choil asher titen li, ase asrenuloch, whatever you give me, I will give you maase. In the VM, there's a Haftorah of Shabbos HaGodol, we're going to read in a couple of weeks' time, Hovius kol amaase el beis oitza. And in Ksuvim, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Kabed es Hashem mehoinecho, honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu from your wealth, from your possessions. And there are Midrashim, the Gemara's Divrei Chazal. It crystallizes into three shittas. The Batinura and the Vilna Gaon holds that it's Doraisa, that the chiyuv of separating Masa is a chiyuv Doraisa. The Maharil, the Chidor, and the Orach HaShulchan hold that it's not a chiyuv Doraisa. The Psukim are Remozim, and it's a chiyuv Durabonon. There's a chiyuv Durabonon to do those things. The Maharam Rottenberg, the Bach, and the Pischet Shuvah hold it's just a minhag. Interestingly, it seems as if this was never a minhag amongst the Sfardim. It's a minhag that grew up amongst the Ashkenazim and not amongst the Sfardim. In 1286, the Emperor Rudolf I of Germany imposed very harsh decrees against the Yidden in Germany. The Rav of Worms at the time was the Maharam Mirottenberg, and we all know that he was imprisoned in the Tower, and he was held there, I think, for 12, 13 years until he died there. His Talmud, who was the Rosh, became the Rav of Worms in his place, but he was also persecuted. He escaped to France, and whilst he was in France, he was recommended by the Rajbo that as a Talmud Chacham, that he should become the Rav and the Rosh Yeshiva in Toledo in Spain. So you had here this German Ashkenazi Rav, who became the Rav and the Rosh Yeshiva in genuine Sfarad, right, in a Sfaradi Kehila. In 1316, he wrote a will. He wrote a tavor to his children, and that tavor actually is here in the British Museum in London. And he wrote as follows, Shema b'ni musar avicha. He told his children, right, listen to the instruction of your father. I'll just translate it into English, just one passage from it, because it's just very interesting. He says, as in the country from which we migrated, our fathers and our fathers' fathers were accustomed to set aside a tenth of all their profits for God as charity for religious purposes. He says, therefore, right, I beg my children to maintain this minhag, yeah, even though you are now in Spain, where it is not the widespread minhag to do so. And in 1346, he had eight sons. And in 1346, the elder of his sons, the five oldest of his sons, including one of them, was the Baal HaTurim, yeah, the original Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yaakov Baal HaTurim. But his sons wrote a signed document in which they brought this minhag, so to speak. They said, we are going to be Mekayim, this tavor of our father, this request of our father, and we adopt this as the minhag of our family. But it became a minhag in their family, so to speak. But it wasn't a widespread, and as far as I know, it's still not, amongst the Sfardim, a widespread minhag to... It's a great thing if they do it, but it's not a widespread minhag to separate masa. Masha Einkein, by the Ashkenazim, you have, at the very least, you've got the evidence of the Rosh, who says that it was the minhag in Ashkenaz, and it goes back, he speaks about his fathers and his father's fathers, the ancestors. So, once I've separated my masa, what can I do with the masa money? Right? I've got the masa, it's in a separate account, I've taken off 10%, and now I want to know what to do with it. So there are a number of rayas, a number of proofs, which imply that you can use the masa money not only for tzedakah, for aniyim, but for other purposes as well. First of all, running through a few of them, some of which we've mentioned already. They're the yukim, which are brought down, and we'll see how the poskim deal with it. Right? The poskim mishli, kabed es Hashem mehoinecho, honor the Rabbeinu Shalom from your possessions. It doesn't say what you should do with that money from your possessions. The Tanchuma says, there's a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Re, aseh ta aseh, says the Medrash, Remez lemefoshi yamim. It's a remez here for traveling merchants. Lehoitzi echod me'asora, that they should give 1/10 le'oimle Torah, to people who toil, people who study Torah. The Yerushalmi in Peo, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Eidu Dvorim Shein Anshia, he says, Be'usha nimnu, that there was a tekona in Usha, going back to the Zman of the Talmud, of the Zman of the Gemara, Shehei odam mafrish chomesh nechosim, that the person should separate a fifth of his property, le mitzvah. Doesn't say la niyim, it doesn't say litzdoka, it says le mitzvah. In the Rambam, he writes in Hilchas Eichin, kol ha-mafazim ha-moinoi be-mitzvahs, there's somebody who is going to spend money on mitzvahs, al yifaze yoseh mechoymesh, not more than a fifth. The Shita Mukubet says in Ksubas is even more specific. He says, be-masa, yesh lo reshus lo hitzioi lechol dvar mitzvah. You can spend your masa money on any dvar mitzvah. Kegoin, for instance, this is a famous word, lichtoiv sforim, to write sforim, to publish sforim, v'lil moid bohem, ulahashilam la'acherim, and to learn from them yourself, and to lend them to others. And if we remember now the tzavor of the Rosh that we just mentioned, right, this will that the Rosh left behind for his children, he told them as follows, that we come from a place where nohagu avoyseinu va'avoyse avoyseinu, that our ancestors had the minik, lehafrish chelekecho mi'asorah, to separate a tenth, legovoya, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, litzdoko, litzorech mitzvah. So he mentions litzdoko and litzorech mitzvah. You could say, he doesn't say litzdoko u litzorech mitzvah, the text is litzdoko litzorech mitzvah. You could say it's the same thing, you could say that there's a diuk there. So now you have, basically we split into two camps. You've got those who are against using masa for any other use. You've got the Maharam Rotenberg, who says that although he held, we learnt earlier, that Maase is only a minik, nevertheless he says, Ein l'shanoisom l'mitzvah acheres. Maase is only for aniyim. The Ma'aril in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah says there are some people who make the mistake of using masa money in order to provide candles in Rosh Hashanah for people to daven by in shul. Yeah, he says it's a mistake. He says shloikedinoisim b'teisha ha kesef shayech la'aniyim. You can't use masa money for neiros beis haknesses for ne'er lamoy. And the Ramah paskens like that, and he says quite clearly, "Ve'ein la'sois mimasa dvar mitzvah acher." You can't use your masa for anything else apart from aniyim, rak yitnu la'aniyim. So you've got quite clearly one camp, the Maharam Rottenberg, the Maril, the Ramah, who says that you can only use masa for aniyim and for nothing else. It's quite an impressive lineup, right? Keneged zeh, you've got another impressive lineup. You've got the Shloh, who brings down B'Shem Asefim Il Tzedek. He says, Shekol mitzvah shetova liyodoi. Any mitzvah that comes your way. Liyos val bris, if you want to be a sundik. Lachnis kala, to make a chasna. Velikles tforim, or to lend them. Im loyo yecholes, yikach mina masa. If you can't afford to do the mitzvah without, from your own funds, then you can use masa money to do any mitzvah. And the Shach and the Taz Paskin like that. And the Be'a Goylo says, that, he says that you're not allowed to buy a mitzvah. Mitzvah chiyuvis, like you can't buy tefillin because you're obliged to buy tefillin. But any other mitzvah that you're not obliged to, then you're allowed to use it for any other mitzvah. So therefore, you've got the Shloh, you've got the Shach, you've got the Taz, you've got the Be'er HaGoyla who say that you can use masa money for other things as well, and lav dafka only for tzedakah. The Chasam Sofer makes a pshara between them, and he comes up with an answer like this. He says that on day one, when you earn your first amount of money, when you're about to be mafrish, your very first masa money, make a tanai at that stage. If you make a tanai at that stage, you say, I'm making a tanai that I'm allowed to use my masa money, not only for aniyim, but even for other purposes, for other dvar mitzvah as well, then he says that's a valid use. Lekul Alma, he says, then ein ka machlokas, there will be no machlokas between the poskim if you've made that tanai from day one. If you didn't make that tanai from day one, whether or not you could maybe do, I'm not sure, whether or not Hatoros Nadorim or ask a Shiloh or something and then start afresh to make the tanai again, I don't know. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says as follows, that hayois that there is no raya from the Gemara or from Chazal what you should be doing with your masa money, and he says that many of the opinions that we've quoted were the opinions of those tzaddikim, of those gedolim, who held, you know, in their own opinion, so to speak, but they didn't have rayas because Chazal didn't discuss it. You won't find it in the Gemara and in the Midrashim specifically, apart from some of the small diukim that we found. He says, therefore he says, first of all he says, a person should always give the ma'aser money b'li neder. When you give it out, give it b'li neder, or include it in your Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. He says, that way, in case it's only a chiyuv d'rabbanon, or in case it's only a minhag ba'almo, you're not elevating it up to the level of a neder when you have problems of shailas in Hilchos Nedarim. Right? And he says as follows, he says there are two categories, he brings down this from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, says there are two categories of Maisa. There's what he calls Tzedakah Tohoira, pure Tzedakah, and what he calls Mitzvahs and Matoros She'enon Tzedakah Tohoira. Mitzvahs and things which are not pure Tzedakah. Pure Tzedakah, he says, is Pidyon, Shavuyim, and Aniyim. Right? The rescuing of captives is the top of all. Right, to rescue, to get somebody out of prison, or to get somebody out of, if he's being ransomed, he's been kidnapped. Yeah, that's Pidyon Shvuyim. And the second thing is to give to Aniyim. He says, that is Tzedakah Tohira. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, you should give the vast majority of your masa money to Tzedakah Tohira. He says, on the other hand, he says, there are mitzvahs and things which he calls Matorah She'enom Tzedakah Tohira, but they're good things to do. He gives examples, for instance, of Talmud Torah, buying sforim and lending them, buying aliyahs, buying yourself an aliyah, let's say a Rosh Hashanah, you want to buy yourself an aliyah, the Torah, or nedovas to a Beis HaKnesses, which pay for the running of a Beis HaKnesses. He said those things are lesser than pure tzedakah, which he calls aniyim. You can give a chelik of your masa money to that. In my mind, right, this Hachnosas Orchim, yeah, the Hachnosas Orchim is Eilat Vorim Sheilam Shir, one of them is Achnosas Orchim. Yeah, that it's a mitzvah. It's avada, a mitzvah that they're doing. It's avada, a service. It's avada, a tova for the people who arrive at these various destinations. They should be able to eat a hot meal. Yeah? And avada, if a person made a tnai lechatchila before he started giving his masa money, that he could use his masa money also for other causes. Plus, if we paskin like the three shittas that we brought down of the shloh, the shach, the taz, and the ber hagoylo, that it is legitimate to use masa money for any mitzvah, then it could be that according to those shittas, it is a legitimate use of my masa money that I should give money to the hachnos zorchin. In which case, I'd have to eat humble pie and apologize to those shluchim mitzvah. Thank you.